This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Earlene McMichael. Sabrina Fulton, the mother of slain Florida teenager Trayvon Martin, spoke at Chenery Auditorium in Kalamazoo on March 29. It was the culminating event in a racial equity and social justice lecture series sponsored by Western Michigan University's Lee Honors College, and I interviewed Ms. Fulton on stage. Today, we present a condensed version of our live conversation that was recorded before an audience of close to 700 people. Her appearance here coincides with the five-year anniversary of the case of the shooting death of the unarmed Trayvon Martin by a Neighborhood Watch volunteer. The case focused the nation's attention on violence against African Americans, especially men. Ms. Fulton and Trayvon Martin's father, Tracy Martin, recently released a book called Rest in Power, The Enduring Life of Trayvon Martin. First, I want to say my condolences on the passing of your son. I'm a mother, too. What I'd like to talk about is color, not color of skin, but the color purple. What does that color mean to you?
It's my favorite color. I'll say that first of all. Purple is my comfort color. That's the color that means to me, it means serenity. It means royalty. It just relaxes me and it makes me comfortable. And it's in my bedroom. It's in my office. It's just purple everywhere.
And the reason I start the conversation there, you talked about those first few days when your son passed away. You spent a lot of time in that bedroom with that purple. Ultimately, when you would go out to some of these public appearances, that is why you wore the purple. But something got you out of that purple room and that you had to rise to the occasion. You received a phone call from Trayvon Martin's father saying to you, within 2 weeks after your son passed, George Zimmerman would not be arrested.
When he told me that he would not be arrested, when Tracy said that he would not be arrested, I think it took about 2.5 to 3 hours. I packed up my things and I was headed to Sanford. That's a part of being a mother. That's the angry part of me that came out.
Sanford, Florida is about 2.5 hours away from where you live in Miami, and that is where your son had passed away. And Sanford is near Orlando, so people can kind of follow the dots here. When you went to Sanford that day, you went to a press conference. Up till that point, you weren't making public statements, and pretty much the whole thing took a life from there. People magazine has named you one of 25 women changing the world. They did that in November 2016. The case of your son helped spark the Black Lives Movement. You formed a foundation.
Right.
One of the aspects of your foundation, you have something called Circle of Mothers.
The Circle of Mothers is about a dream that I had one night that I saw this room filled with mothers and purple again. It was about us bonding. It was about us crying. It was about us healing. It was about us laughing. And it was so vivid. It was as if it was a reality. And so I got up in the middle of the night and I took my notepad and I started writing. And by the time I finished writing, I had pages and pages of pages of what I saw in my dream. And so I created that. I recreated what I saw in my dream, and it's called A Circle of Mothers. And every year I bring about 50 to 60 mothers to Miami, and it's the exact same thing. It's about healing. It's about bonding. It's about we laugh together. We cry together. We just all of those emotions come out, and it's about really healing. It's about empowering yourself, because we try to take care of so many things that sometimes as mothers, as women, we don't take care of ourselves. And so that's very important. It was very important to me, and I know it's very important to you. You have to take care of yourself before you can take care of anybody else. And so Afeni died last year, Afeni Shakur, which is Tupac's mom. She was my first keynote speaker there. And so I just did a piece. It should be coming out soon, later this year. They're doing a documentary. And it touched me, because when I invited her to come out, she had never spoken with a room full of women that had been through the same thing she did. And I think at the time, Tupac was dead for like 17 years or something like that. He had been dead for some time, and she had never just been in that room, she said, of her peers. It's online. You could listen to her keynote speech. Vibe magazine did a article, and it's a video that's on there. And so that touched me a great deal just to know. I just, you know, just called her up like, can you come speak to my mom? Since she was like, I'll be glad to. And, you know, and then the following year, I've had Ayanna Van Zandt. I've had Lisa Nichols. And then the year before last, I had Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Kareem Brown, and Frederica Wilson to come out and to speak, because I want to make an impact. They are making an impact in D.C. They're making an impact with politics. And so I wanted them to come out. And then last year in 2016, I don't know if you guys know it, but I was on the campaign trail.
I did read that.
And and Hillary Clinton was my keynote speaker. And I'm still sad about her not winning. I'm sorry, but I'm still sad about her not winning.
Your organization, Circle of Mothers, it helps to create healing, sisterhood among the women. But unfortunately, in the news, that group is growing. You have become really good friends with the mother of Sandra Bland, the mother of Mike Brooks, the mother of Eric Gardner, and the list just goes on and on. Several of you addressed the Democratic National Convention last year.
Yes. My moms and I, we have developed a bond. And so we kind of in the same circles, you know, some of the names that you called, and like Oscar Grant's mother, that's a lot of you are familiar with Oscar Grant's case, and Dante Hamilton, Tamar Rice, and Mike Brown, and Jordan Davis, and Hadia Pendleton, and Sandra Bland, and Eric Garner. We're all in the same circle. So if you Google Democratic National Convention, you'll see that we were on the stage, and a few of us spoke very nervously about supporting and endorsing Hillary Clinton, because we wanted to see a woman in the White House and not just as the first lady. You know, we think that women have the ability and the experience. It's just unfortunate that a lot of people feel like we should be in the passenger seat. They don't want us to drive. And so we got to get past that. We got to get past where we have people thinking that we should not make the same amount of money as somebody that's our counterparts, that's doing the same job. Which brings me to another thing that the mother spoke at, was the Women's March on Washington with those pink hats. And so that was about so much more. That was about women's rights. And I just absolutely, not because I'm a woman, but because it's the right thing to do, because it's the fair thing to do.
Back to the Black Lives Matter movement that your son's case helped spark, that has drawn attention to violence against African Americans in general, African American men in particular. Do you ever think what would have happened if you didn't get out of your purple room, if you did not speak up and attention was brought to your case? It took first you speaking up, but what it also took, and I read this in your book, is having people in the press that was willing to share your story?
One of the things, I think Trayvon Martin would have just been another statistics, because I'm from Miami, and somebody being shot and killed is just a everyday occurrence. And so you don't hear about David Queen. You don't hear about Jada Brown, who was an 8-year-old that was shot in the head. You don't hear about these people because of several different reasons, because it happens all over the place. But before I can say the media, it was the colleges and the universities that actually stood up and started posting themselves with hoodies on, and that's what got the media's attention. So even before it got to the media, It was the young people. So I think the key in everything that's going to take place is our young people, because quite naturally, I think that it's time to pass the torch. I think that Reverend Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, John Lewis, all of those people did a really good job with what they had. But I think the key to really changing this country is our young people. And so our young people have fresh new ideas. I can say that I'm 50 years old and that I can honestly say that we haven't done a good job with gun violence, with police brutality, with women's rights, with health care, with so many issues. We haven't gotten this right. And so when we turn over this country to our young people, I just have faith in them that they're going to get it right. The millennials, I think that's who's going to take over and really make a difference, make a change, because we are constantly divided and we need to be going the opposite way. You know, we need to talk, you know, less about what we're wearing and more about human rights.
This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. You've been listening to my interview with Trayvon Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, live at Kalamazoo's Chenery Auditorium on March 29th.
We've talked about Black Lives Matter. We've talked about things affecting African Americans. But back to colors. We come back to colors. I think most people know that Trayvon Martin had on a gray hoodie the night that he passed away. But in this picture on the cover of the book, it's a multicolored hoodie. This was intentional.
That was intentional. The hoodie is red, white, and blue. And we feel like this conversation is happening all over America. We feel like when this situation happened with us and our family, that it happened to the country. And so that is the purpose behind the red, white, and blue. Now, let me also talk about the name of the book is Rest in Power. It's not Rest in Peace, because we absolutely know that Trayvon is resting in peace. And so the power of Trayvon's name continues, not only through his family, his friends, his parents, his brother, but through other people who didn't even know him, who had never met him, who had never heard the name Trayvon Martin. And so that's the power that so many people are talking about it, so that we can, because for so long, we just felt like it was uncomfortable and we wouldn't talk about it. It's like a subject such as rape or trafficking, you know, human trafficking. It's certain things we just don't like to talk about it. We don't like to talk about children being molested and pornography and things like that. We don't like to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. But certain things we need to talk about so that we can come up with how are we going to change what has happened. How are we going to save some of our other children? We can't save Trayvon, but there's certainly so many other children that we absolutely could save.
What fears or concerns do you have about our country right now?
Whew, it's so much, but it's so apparent. When you have somebody leading a country, you need leadership. You need strong leadership. You need somebody that's making suggestions to bring us together, not to further divide us, because we are more alike than we are different. What we need to be doing is we need to be organizing. We need to be thinking about who are we going to elect for our next politicians and representatives to represent us about our issues. I travel, and I don't like what they're saying about us. This is a good country. You know, this is a good, strong country. And what people are saying now is just negative things, and I think we need to get back on the positive track. And so we can only do that by thinking positive thoughts and positive actions. And so everybody has to do their part. It's so important, and I say that so much. It's not as a cliche, but because it needs to happen. We need to do our part. You can't continue to sit and watch something happen on TV and watch something on social media and like it and share it and think you're doing your part. You have to connect yourself. You have to connect yourself with an organization that's doing something positive. Like, if you want to save the animals, then connect with saving the animals. If you want to save humans, connect with saving the humans. Don't sit back and be a silent partner anymore. We have to show more action. Absolutely. Make sure not only that you are a registered voter, but that you also get out and vote. And you have to know what's on the ballot. In the trial that I sat through with the person who shot and killed my son, we didn't have a good jury selection. So when you get that letter in the mail that say you have been selected for jury duty, please go. It's so important. Because you really need open-minded people that's sitting on the jury pool to make those type of decisions. I think people get the letter and they think of automatically some type of excuse how they can get out of going. But we need to go. We need to get in the habit of going.
I don't know if people know this, but you are considering running for office yourself.
I'm just trying to figure out which area, which position that I can make the most impact. That I can make the most difference, that I can make the most changes to. And so, then it's written in stone, I might change my mind and say, this is not for me, you know, because of politics, you have to be a certain way, you have to act a certain way, and I might not fit in with the other politicians.
Back to your book, which just came out last month, and it just happened to coincide with the 5-year anniversary of the passing of your son. A year and a half to do that. Tell me how that process affected you.
The book is about my life, Tracy's life, Trayvon's life, some parts of the trial. It gives you in depth of who Trayvon Martin really is, and that part makes me smile, and it talks a lot. You gotta get, let me just show them again the book. This book was very emotional for me. That's the word I'm looking for. It was very emotional. There are some funny points in the book, but the book is really serious because it deals firsthand with racial profiling. It deals firsthand with how Tracy and I felt as parents. Another thing, if you read this book, you'll find that that is my ex-husband, so my name is not Miss Martin. It's Sabrina Fulton. See, right on this book, it say Sabrina.
And speaking from a parent's point of view, you, in the book, made a very intentional decision to not even say George Zimmerman's name. In fact, he's just called Killer. You were sending a very clear message, I think, to the people that read that book about the point of view of you and Tracy Martin.
So let me ask you guys a question. Who was the person that was driving the bus when Rosa Parks did not sit in the back of the bus? Right, you have no clue. And so that's the same effect that I want. Eventually, you will not even think about who the person was that shot and killed Trayvon, but the bigger picture is that our young people and people who are innocent are stopped from being killed by people with guns. And I don't have anything against the Second Amendment or firearms. I think that guns should be in the hands of responsible owners. Another reason why I don't mention his name is because I don't give him that much of my attention.
And I know people have this question, and we talked about this offline. Has he ever, the person whose name you will not mention, ever apologized, either in person, publicly, in writing?
He has apologized at a court hearing when he wanted to, at a bond hearing when he wanted to try to lower the bond for him going to jail. And so we just don't feel like it was sincere.
And here's another question that you said people ask you a lot. Do you forgive him?
No. 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 Have I forgiven? No. Do I know that that's something, you know, spiritually I'm supposed to do? Yes. At some point in time, I feel like maybe it'll come to that. But where I am right now in my life, even though the clock says it's 5 years that Trayvon was shot and killed, it doesn't feel like 5 years to my heart. And so it takes time. I'm still healing. I'm just a human being, and I'm trying to, you know, maneuver through this new lifestyle. And forgiveness is just like on the bottom of the list right now, you know. I just can't right now, just for the sake of my heart and for the sake of my son. I just can't you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay to kill someone. It's not okay to shoot and kill someone. It's not okay with the laws we have in place. It's not okay. It's not okay.
Is there another book in Sabrina Fulton?
I have a literary agent. Her name is Jan Miller. She's going to kill me. But she's trying to push me into doing another book. I'm interested in another book, but just not the part two of the Trayvon Martin story. What I want to do a book in reference to is more inspirational. I don't want people to look at me and just be so sad and say, oh, my God, that's the kid's mom who got shot and killed. I want you to say that's the kid's mom that got shot and killed, but she did this. She got back up. And so I want to talk about how we fall down on certain issues and we hurt and we broken and we get back up. And so I got back up. I just want to help strengthen women, mothers, girls, ladies, whatever you want to call yourself. And I want them to use me as an example, because I have to tell you that it's only through God's grace and mercy that I'm even here in my right mind. And so it has to be something spiritual. I'm not an extremely religious person, and I say that all the time, because when I have a glass of wine, people want to take my picture. I drink wine, you know. And that's why I don't want them to fix me up. I don't want them to polish me up. No, just an average person, a regular mom. And yes, I drink wine. I like the casino.
Speaking of being inspirational, as you have done your activism, I mean, you did this overnight. You had to kind of learn on the job, for real. You've been able to share some of the story of your son, but you've no doubt came to learn much more about issues surrounding social justice in general and for African Americans in particular. As you look out to this audience, given all that you've learned, what is your advice to young people?
That's so easy. I want you to know that Trayvon was no different than who you are. And he should have been given the same opportunities that you're given. Being in school, receiving an education is so powerful. And it's going to make you go so much further. But not just go to school, but graduate. And then when you graduate and you have your fancy degree in your hand and you put it up on your fancy wall in your fancy office, do something with it. You know, become an activist, become something. Those action words are so important, and you have to do something to help someone else. And I think that was one of the things that helped me get through what I was going through, is because I learned early that if I help somebody else, it's going to take the impact off of what I'm going through. So I absolutely think our young people, you guys have all the answers. We didn't. At the same time, I don't want you to be afraid of what you're walking into, because it looks ugly. It looks uncomfortable. But I feel like the strength that you have, the education you have, the knowledge you have, you'll go much further, because sometimes people my age, we get set in our ways and we don't want to make change. We don't want things to be different. And I know young people, they like things different. They want to make a change. They want to make an impact. And I think you absolutely are going to make an impact because you have big, big dreams. You have big thoughts, and you just have so much, I can't even think of the word that I want to use. You're just innovative and creative, and I just want you to use those thoughts and just put them into action, and don't worry about how the things are going to get done. Just do it. Just do it.
And so that we don't leave the adults out, what advice do you have for the adults in general and for African Americans in particular, and especially parents?
For the parents, I would say never, ever, ever give up. Never give up. I mean, there were times that I wanted to give up because sometimes you read nasty comments, you know, but I can't. Those people are not people that support our young people. Those are people that are not good-hearted people. I still believe that the majority of this country is still good-hearted people. And I say that to say that we still have a chance. Don't give up. It's important that we keep moving forward. But we can only do it if you don't continue to sit down on your seat and do nothing. You got to do something. I don't care what little part you play in this. You can write a speech. You can write a letter. You can make calls. You can give your time. You can donate to an organization. There are things that you can do, but we can't continue to do nothing. We have to do something. It might be you mentoring a young person and supporting that young person's idea. Just do something. Just do something. Because you guys see that so many people are being shot and killed and nobody is being held accountable for it. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And it might not be somebody that looks like you, but it's wrong. When I see a news story and it says that a 6-year-old was drowned in a pool, I don't care what color skin that child has. We got to get to that. We got to get back to that. It's important. Know why? Because that child was a human being, and that child is attached to a family, a mother, a father, brothers, sister, friends. We have to understand that. You can't just see color all the time. You can't say us against them all the time. We have to come together. It's important. Thank you.
Well, that was a powerful way to end our Q&A. Before we leave, I just would like us to thank the Lee Honors College at Western Michigan University for bringing Miss Sabrina Fulton here.
Thank you
for coming.
You've been listening to an edited version of a live recording of an interview with Trayvon Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, at Kalamazoo's Chinnery Auditorium on March 29th. For bonus audio and more info, go online to WMUK.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Arlene McMichael.
West Southwest can be heard Mondays and Thursdays on WMUK at 9:30 in the morning and again at 3:30 in the afternoon. You can find longer versions of interviews and archived programs at WMUK.org. You can leave us a comment or a suggestion on the WMUK Facebook page or on Twitter at WMUK 1021.